Who knows that the kingdom is full of dichotomy? What's dichotomy? It's things like, if you want to be first, you need to be last. If you want to go up, you need to go lower. Well, I believe that God's got something that he's been speaking to our hearts over the last couple of weeks. And it's going to seem a little bit like a dichotomy with what has come out. But I believe God's saying both. Number one, we've been talking a little bit this morning about rest, that we need to rest in God. But I also believe that God's also saying that we need to know how to run and that we need to run well. So resting and running are both part of our lives. So Lord, thank you for the wisdom for what that looks like in our life. That we rest in you, but we also run in you. So I started last week looking at some scriptures, and we looked at Galatians 5:7, where it says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Paul said to the Galatians, "Listen, you were running well, but something has caused you to stop running." And last week we looked at what it was for the Galatians, and for them it was the law. Them wanting to know as believers, what's the right thing to do? What's the 3 steps I can follow? What do I need to do? And sometimes as believers we can be like that. God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Ever been there? How did it work out for you? I don't know about you, but I found myself not running very far because I was still standing there waiting to know where I was meant to run and what I was meant to do. Song of Solomon puts it best, where it says, "Draw me and I'll run after you." We're meant to be running with the Lord. We're not errand boys who are given a list of things to do and we go off and do them. And the first area that will stop us from running well is when we think that our life as Christians comes down to what God wants us to do. And we resort to rules and regulations. That area will stop us from running well. So we looked at that last week, and then we looked at the second area. We're in John 20. We have Jesus who has been crucified. He's been laid in the tomb. We have Mary and other women who go to the tomb early in the morning. The stone's been rolled away. They go back to the disciples and say, "The stone's been rolled away." And Peter and John get up, and it says in verse 3 of John 20, "Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple," who was John, "outran Peter and came to the tomb first." And last week we spoke about what it would have been like for Peter. This man who said to Jesus the night before he was crucified, "Lord, I'll die with you. I'll never deny you." He was so full of confidence of what he would do. And we talked about the fact that Peter and John started to run to the tomb. And I don't believe verse 3 is there just because John was fitter. I believe that verse 3 is there because if there's one thing that's going to slow us down in running after God, it's regret. And I think as Pete started to run towards the tomb, he started to remember. He remembered the servant girl. He remembered being around the fire. He remembered the accusation of the soldiers. He remembered how vehemently he said, "I don't know that man." And he remembered what it was like to see Jesus look at him and to hear a rooster crow. I believe as he was going to the tomb, all these memories started to come up on the inside. "Jesus, I failed you. I said I'd do this. I said I'd do that. But I didn't. I failed. I'm hopeless." And I don't think it's any wonder that he started to slow as he went towards the tomb. See, folks, if we're living with the regret of yesterday, we won't be running fast. One of the reasons why it says about us needing to cast our cares upon the Lord, like Diane demonstrated, all our bags get heavy. Have you ever tried running with the groceries? Don't let what has happened slow you down. Hebrews talks about laying aside the weight and the sin that easily ensnares us. Folks, our past will ensnare us and keep us from running into our future if we don't deal with it. And some of us need to let go of the regret. If you want more about that, catch last Sunday's message online. Then the third area that we looked at was we looked at heartache and pain. Because coming down further in John 20, it talks about Mary. See, Mary stayed at the tomb after Peter and John went back to their home. She stayed there and she wept, full of grief because she couldn't find Jesus. She didn't know what had happened. And one of the things that will slow us down is grief and heartache. And it says here in verse 14, she turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. Pain, unfortunately, blinds us. It will blind us to the very God who's still with us. And it's hard to run fast when you're crying. Some of you know what that feels like. We have to be able to process pain. Again, we spoke about that one last week. If that's an area that you're dealing with, I encourage you to listen to last week's message. Because this morning, I want to carry on and talk about another area. It's related, because it carries pain in itself, and it's the whole area of disappointment. The whole area of losing your dream, hopes dashed, situations not turning out the way that you thought they would. So we're going to change to Luke, and we're also going to look at around the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to start with Luke 24, verse 13. It says, "Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned." If you're reading along in your Bible, I would circle that word. "They conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him." The thing that trips us up when we have disappointment in our life is the fact that we usually kick into reasoning. And this is what these guys were doing. They were walking along, and it was the same day. This is Resurrection Day. These guys were walking away from Jerusalem. They were heading in the opposite direction. Ever lived with the fear that you might miss God? Anybody? See a few nods. I've got good news for you. Even if you start walking in the wrong direction, Jesus will turn up where you are at. If you miss God, God will find you. He knows your address. And if you're walking the wrong way, he will start walking with you. And these guys had Jesus walking with them, and they didn't even recognize him. Why? Well, let's have a look at verse 16. Verse 16, where it says, "But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." That word "eyes" is ophthalmos. It means the eye, literally or figuratively, by implication, vision. Restrained is kratio, means to take hold of, to get possession of. Something got hold of these guys' vision so that they could not perceive Jesus. And I want to suggest to you that the thing that got hold of their vision or their ability to see was their reasoning. It was the soul realm that said, "Don't understand what happened. Why did this happen?" And they started to get into their soul and into their reasoning, and they lost their ability to see. Folks, when we lose our ability to see, we lose our ability to run. And most of us end up wandering around in circles or walking off in the wrong direction. But I got good news for you. Jesus ends up walking with us. So we're going to drop down to verse 21. Verse 21, this is them talking back to Jesus because Jesus asks them what's in their heart. And they say, verse 21, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. I don't know about you, but I read that and I go, tilt, tilt. These guys are walking away from Jerusalem. And they are saying, hey, the woman, they saw angels and the angels said that he's alive. And some of the disciples went there and the tomb's empty. But they're just walking away from all of it. It's like, go figure. Why? Why were we walking to Emmaus when all this is happening in Jerusalem? Verse 21, but we were hoping. They lost their hope. They lost their dream. And they didn't understand. So you can be in the midst of the miraculous. You can be in the midst of the most powerful thing happening in all human history. And if you lose your hope, you will start walking in the wrong direction. What is happening in our heart is the most important thing. That's why Proverbs says, guard it. Guard your heart. Why? Because if you let hope be snatched out of your heart, if you let the dream that you have die, you'll start walking away from the fulfillment of that dream. And instead of running towards your destiny, you'll walk from it. Folks, Jesus wants to resurrect dreams. He wants to put hope back in people's hearts so that people walk towards destiny. And that what happens to these guys is what happens to them. Verse 28. Now, I'm skipping out some verses here. Jesus actually goes through and explains to these guys why he had to suffer and die. I mean, I would love to have heard that conversation. Jesus went through all the Old Testament and explained to them. You know, Jesus does have an answer as to why some things happen. And sometimes he tells us, but sometimes he doesn't. And a very interesting thing happens. Then they drew near to the village. They got where these guys thought they wanted to be, where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. One of the most powerful things that we have that God will protect in our life is our choice. He gives to each and every one of us the right to choose. Sometimes I wish he didn't. Sometimes I wish he would just barge in. He'll walk with us. And he'll be with us where we're at. But he will also wait for us to invite him in. Jesus was not going to just walk into the house with these guys. They had to say, stay with us. They had to constrain him. Why? Because he's looking for open hearts. He's looking to those that he can reveal truth to. And when we say, Jesus, I want you, I don't understand where I'm at. I don't understand why when I was hoping for this, that happened. I don't understand why the dream that I've got in my heart isn't happening yet. I don't understand. But Jesus, I want you. I want you more than I want answers. I want you more than I want whatever. And then we see this beautiful thing that happens. Verse 30, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Think all that all of us need is a fresh revelation of Jesus. If you're at a place where you've been struggling with what you've been going through, you don't understand, or you feel like you've been going in the wrong direction, there's only one thing you need. It's a fresh glimpse of Jesus. And when that happens, you'll be like these guys. Verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? There's a big difference between teaching and revelation. And that's why most times when I preach, I start with prayer. Why? Because I don't want you to hear teaching. I want you to start getting revelation. I want something to burn on the inside. Well, you know God spoke to you. And this is what happened to these guys. And I believe that when something started to burn on the inside, hope became alive. And what did these guys do? With hope alive in their heart, verse 33, so they rose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. They rose that very hour, and I don't think they walked back to Jerusalem. I think they ran back to Jerusalem. See, all that it takes, if you feel like you have lost your dream or you've given up on your hope or you're stuck somewhere going in the wrong direction, all we need is a fresh revelation of Jesus, and we'll start running, and we'll run towards our destiny. See, these guys needed to be in Jerusalem. So I said earlier, if you're wandering in the wrong direction, Jesus is going to come and get you right where you're at, turn you around and say, you need to be there. Why did they need to be there? Because Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is poured out on you. If these guys were still in some little wee tin pot village outside of Jerusalem, they would have missed out on what God had for them. Oh, my time's up. I wanted to bring out a couple of details here. Maybe I can touch on it quickly. There you have in verse 49 where Jesus promised that he will pour out the Spirit upon those that tarry in Jerusalem. God knows how to get you to the right place at the right time. So your destiny is connected to the people God has you run with. And God wants to put his people in the right place, running with the right people, so they are there at the right time for the destiny that they carry. Let's come back. So verse 33 that tells us that they ran back to Jerusalem and they found the 11. They were the 12, but Judas is no longer there, so they're the 11. And those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told them about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Couple of little details to bring out. Number one, verse 34. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. As we read down through the rest of this chapter, we see where Jesus appears in the room and speaks to all the disciples. Folks, before he spoke to all of the disciples, guess who he got hold of? Pete. Those of you who are familiar with John chapter 21, that's where Jesus restores Peter publicly. And three times in front of the disciples, he says, "Do you love me?" Pete had denied him three times, and Jesus asked him the question three times. But what we see there is him having his ministry restored. What we see here is the man being restored. The first one that Jesus appeared to was Simon Peter. See, folks, there's things that happen privately that will determine what happens publicly. And very few will know your private story with God. But your public story rests upon your private story. We need fresh encounter with Jesus. It will change everything. And finally, one other little detail I want to throw in for you. Verse 18 gives us the name of one of these guys that was walking to Emmaus. His name is Cleopas. Who's heard of Cleopas? One of you, okay? Who is he? There is a similar name of a guy who was at the cross when Jesus died, but that name is an Aramaic name, and some commentators think, oh, it's the same guy, because this name is Greek. The pas is a shortened form of pater, which is a word for father, paternal. The first part of that is Cleo. Well, what does that mean? It has to do with glory or renown. See, folks, there are no irrelevant details in the Bible. There are truths for us to discover. And when God reveals a name in an incident, he's put it there for a reason. See, I believe that one of the things that these guys thought as they travelled along towards Emmaus was, well, that's fine for the woman. They're real spiritual. They see angels. And that's fine. But yeah, we're not really like that. And I believe that as they're walking along, and yes, some of the disciples went to the tomb, but they're the disciples. They're the important ones. I believe that God wants us to know that it doesn't matter whether we're amongst those who are known or those who are unknown. It doesn't matter whether we think that we are spiritual or not, if we think that we matter or not. we matter to God. And He will meet us right where we are at. And He wants us back in the right place at the right time. Why? Because He wants to father something glorious in the earth. Not just through the disciples, not just through the fivefold, not just through the big names, but through the every name, through the common name. To men and women who are simply part of God's body, God wants to father something glorious. And He wants His body to know that He will have us at the right place, at the right time, according to the destiny He's put in our heart. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You know exactly where we're at. And Lord, if we are wandering off in the wrong direction because we don't know where we're going or what we're doing, or if we think it's just for other people and not for us, that You know how to meet us right where we are at. You know how to come alongside and to get us to the place we need to be. And we thank You for that, Jesus. Amen. In closing, I'm going to open the altar area for prayer if you want to come forward for prayer. But God gave me some words of knowledge for some people here. It ties in with the message. And if this is you, I encourage you to respond. I'd love to pray for you. Or if you just want to respond to the message and say, hey, I want prayer. I want to run after God. I want to see my destiny fulfilled. First thing was I saw somebody tethered. In other words, they had a rope around their ankle and it was tied. And they could walk so far, but then they ended up walking in circles. Second thing I saw was I saw a bag full of rocks. And you don't know what to do with the rocks. Next thing I saw was I saw somebody with like blinkers on, like they were blinkers or like even like sunglasses. And the problem was that they were so dark, you couldn't see the path. You couldn't see where to run or how to run. And I believe God wants to remove those so that you run in the light. Then I saw this person and they were sitting in the grandstand watching the runners. And I felt like God was saying to them, you have watched from the stands long enough. It's time to run. Then I saw another person and they were saying, I want that jersey and I want that number. Depending on what the game is, there are some numbers on the back of some of those players that are pretty important jerseys to have on. But I felt God was saying, you can't have that one until you've learned to play well in this one. Then the last thing that I saw was I saw somebody and they were saying, do I have to cut my beard off? And yeah, that was my reaction too. I laughed like, what is that about? But I felt like it was somebody that you're so caught up in the little details. Do I have to do this? Is it going to cost me that? What about this and what about that? And God's saying, there's a race to run. And if you start running and it's too hot running with a beard on, then you can cut it off. But just start running. So Father, thank You. Thank You for the call to run after You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your blessing upon us. I speak Your blessing over each person here. Lord, that we might know the rhythm of resting and running. and resting and running and resting and running. I thank you for the divine rhythm that you call us to live by. And in closing, if you don't know how to live in the rhythm of run and rest, run and rest, I'd love to pray for you too. So be blessed. If you don't want, you've got something? Yeah, come on up. Well done for putting your hand up.
I think this is pertinent because I started it last Sunday and finished it today. It's about what you were talking about. I got a picture of a bell ringing, being rung. The bell is ringing for us. A bell rings for two things, either as a warning or to alert us to something happening. It is usually to tell us to come or go. I believe this time it is ringing for us to go. It may be ringing for us in our race. We have another lap to go and he wants us to run our best lap. The bell is usually rung just before the last lap in a running race at the Olympics. This is the lap that the contestants have been working towards through the race. They have positioned themselves to be in the best position for the last lap. Then for the last lap, they give it their very best effort. The bell is ringing for us. God wants our very best for the last lap of our race.